Welcome, everybody, to episode 544 of RP Grinders. I am your host, Frank Branches. None of my co-hosts are available at the moment. I'm not 100% sure. Breakman may join the show today. Might be a little late. I don't know what's going on with Breakman, but Eric will be here in a little bit. I think he'll be here in about 20, 30 minutes. So lots to talk about today. Today's a big E3 show. Man, what happened during E3? Like, a lot of good stuff. Sony didn't have a presence there this year, which was semi-disappointing. Microsoft had a fairly decent press conference, I thought. Bethesda had a terrible one. I'll be getting into that. Square Enix, I thought, had a really good conference. And I thought Nintendo actually had a really good conference as well. So lots to get into about E3. You know, we're not doing the normal news this week because there's just so much of it. So we're just going to, I'm going to just delve into some of the press conferences that had happened. And I'm going to go through some of the headlines on various websites to kind of give you guys an idea of what E3 was all about this year. Of course, E3, the big gaming show of the year. I know, like I said, Sony wasn't there or didn't have a huge presence there. They're doing their own thing. And I think a lot of bigger developers are kind of taking that mantle as well. But there was enough to talk about. So, you know, just going down the list of stuff, what do you guys think of Cyberpunk 2077? Really, really cool conference with Keanu Reeves. I was really pleasantly surprised that Keanu Reeves was a part of the whole Microsoft conference with Cyberpunk. It's really surprising to see him in the game. That probably took some big time money to get Keanu Reeves to agree to his likeness in a game, and I'm curious to what you guys think as well. Geez, what else was there? There was, if my links cooperate here. Sorry, I'm trying to get the visuals on there for you instead of just the logo. But hang on one second here, y'all, and I will get things squared away. Square Enix had what I thought was a fairly strong conference. Of course, they revealed a little more gameplay from Final Fantasy VII Remake. Let's see. They had, I mean, there was so much stuff. There was more Tales of a, what is that? Tales of Arise, I think is what they called it. You know, stuff like that. There was some Mortal Kombat reveals, you know, DLC stuff. I was expecting a little more from Neversoft in regards to Mortal Kombat 11. This is interesting. Final Fantasy VII, let me go ahead and read this. This is from GameStop.com. Final Fantasy VII Remake will be playable on the PlayStation 5. I don't think that's a huge surprise. I think that, I mean, could it have gone any other way? I was actually fully expecting another delay on Final Fantasy VII, but they did give us an announcement. It says here, Final Fantasy VII Remake is one of the biggest games, and it will be playable on the PlayStation 5. And then it goes into, there was no confirmation, however, whether this will be achieved via backwards compatibility, which will be a part of both the PS5 and the new Xbox console Scarlet. That's another thing we can talk about too. The new Xbox console, codenamed Scarlet, was kind of revealed, and that's going to be available to us all next year. Probably, I'm guessing the PS5 and the I don't think I got a hardened announcement on both the Xbox and the PlayStation 5, but I believe by 2020 holiday we'll get both of those consoles. And there's still some questions about the PlayStation 5, which, you know what, the PlayStation 5 can absolutely knock it out of the park if they do. I know they're doing PS4 backwards compatibility. compatibility, but what about PS3 and PS2 compatibility, and why not just make it a legacy system and do it all the way back to PS1? I don't know what the logistics on that would be, but that would be I think that would be a huge advantage for the PlayStation 5. The Xbox could do something similar. I hope they do something similar because I was not happy with the fact that you could not play 360 games, or at least most 360 games on the 360. Slagar's in chat. What's up, Slagar? Appreciate you joining on in. He'll be switching. He says the laptop is janky, switching to his phone. Yeah, that's always a good idea, man. Bernie's in chat. Looks like Eric is here, so let's see if we can't get Eric in on the discussion. Yeah, it was an interesting E3 showing for sure for Square Enix. There was a I think it was called Outriders. That would be pretty interesting. Eric's still eating, I guess. So we'll let him eat before he gets on the show. We don't want him to be grumpy. Lots of stuff. But anyways, we'll discuss when Eric gets on. But it's only been confirmed for the PS4, which is kind of weird. Obviously, there PS5 doesn't have a solid announcement, so I didn't expect that. There was something also revealed. It's going to be on two Blu-ray discs, so that's really interesting. I know it's going to deal with all of Midgard. Honestly, man, why couldn't they put welcome back, Slagar. Hope that's a little bit better for you. If you're wondering where Eric and Break are, Eric will be joining us very shortly, and Break may or may not be joining us today. I'm not 100% sure. It's been an interesting E3. I was, like I said, I thought the big winners of the conference were definitely Nintendo and Square Enix, which I couldn't have said in years past. Nintendo, I thought, had a really good showing. They did mention something that I'm going to talk about today, and that is they are pushing back Animal Crossing to March of next year. I think it was like March 3rd of next year, and for an interesting reason. I think the reasoning is, from what I gather, is they didn't want to have a situation of crunch where they had their teams, just slaving over the release of a game. I we've talked about these things, in essence, I just honestly, there should never be a case where crunch is involved. So, it's just one of those things. Let's talk about other stuff. Breath of the Wild 2. They didn't have a name or anything, but there was an announcement that it's in development, which I don't think that's a huge surprise. There's some Xbox Scarlett details. It's going to be capable of doing 8K, 120 FPS, solid state drive. And the solid state drive is super important because of loading times. I was just playing Last of Us. And Last of Us had some atrocious load times, man. Even for the PS4, I man, there's something that I really don't like. It's load times for sure. So solid state drives are going to be really welcome. 120 frames per second. I don't think anybody's clamoring for that. I don't think anybody's clamoring for 8K. I think the real goal is to get games at 4K resolution, 60 frames per second. I think that would be a reasonable goal to attain. 8K at 120 frames per second, I think, is pipe dream. I don't think it's going to be possible next gen, until maybe the very end of the very end of the life cycle of it. So, super interesting. I don't I don't know what to think. I mean, 8K, I mean, there's no big need for 8K. I know TVs want to sell you on, you know, 8K and you know, up from 4K. You would think it's double the resolution, is actually a little bit more, but nobody's clamoring for 8K, so I'm kind of curious why they decide, maybe just to future-proof their device. I don't know if this is kind of the swan song for consoles. I'm really, really, really not sure. So that's interesting. Let's take a look at, this is another thing. The Marvel's Avengers game was revealed at the Square Enix conference. Very interesting. I'm down. It looks cool. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, I kind of wish that they would have switched the Avengers stuff with the Final Fantasy VII stuff, but you know, what are we to take from that? There is a release date for Final Fantasy VII, and I forgot. It is, let's see if I can find it for you, March 3rd, 2020, which I believe is the same date as, maybe it's March 20th for Animal Crossing. I know it's two completely different games, but, you know. Cyberpunk 2077 got a release date. Elden Ring is a new game from Software in a collaboration with George R.R. Martin. I wish they would have showed a little bit more of that, but instead we did not get that. I'm going to read this Scarlet details the Xbox. It's exciting. I mean, I'm not a huge Xbox fan, but I do like new tech and new stuff. So, you know. All right, let's see if we can get Eric on the line. Sorry for the sound bite that's coming up here. But that's just... Hey, Eric.
What's up?
Hey, man. We're just talking about Xbox's new console, Scarlet, a lot of E3 stuff. What were your impressions of E3, man? What did you like the most about E3, and what did you dislike about E3?
I think most of it was underwhelming, except for Square and Nintendo.
I agree. I thought Xbox had a decent conference. I didn't think they had, a horrible conference, but it was kind of, you know, meh. Bethesda's conference was like laughable, and I thought kind of embarrassing. I don't think you could get much worse than what Bethesda did with their conference. Are you there, Eric?
Sorry, I had to cough. But, yeah, okay. I never watched Bethesda's because I knew it was going to be something garbage.
Yeah.
Like, the only good thing to come out of that is something we already knew was Doom Eternal.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like...
And then the two different Wolfenstein DLCs. The one's Youngbloods, but what's the other one? I don't remember that one.
I don't remember the one. The only one that I really cared about was Youngblood. Youngblood looks good. And is that DLC or is that a standalone game? I thought that was its own.
Well, it's like DLC in the sense that it's like it's still Wolfenstein 2, but it's a standalone game.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that I guess makes sense.
I think like I think it's like a cheaper game though. It's like probably closer to $20 to $30.
That would be surprising. And it must be a really short game because they usually don't do that for those standalone type games. Bethesda, they're really not known for that. Fallout 76.
It's probably priced similarly to how First Light was priced.
Yeah. I see Apex Pro Communities in chat. Welcome on in. And I see Wyland's in chat. So we got a couple old schoolers, Wyland and Slagar in chat. Thanks for joining the it's a different... different RP grinders today. We're talking E3, you know, just the press conferences that happened and some of the stuff that we like, we didn't like. I did not like what they're, I mean, I think Fallout 76 is dead on arrival. I thought it was dead on arrival when it came out. And, you know, I don't think this is going to invigorate, even though it's free to play right now. I really don't think.
What?
What's that?
I went to blow my nose for a second.
Oh, okay.
What were we talking about?
I was talking about what you call it, Fallout 76. How right now they're doing like a free to play week or something. And
Todd Howard's a liar, and we shouldn't trust anything he says.
Yeah, I agree. I was not excited.
And they'll never fix that broken game. It's too broken.
I agree. I think it's way past. I know that there have been certain games that have come out. I think For Honor was one of them, where at first
unless they can manage to. I don't trust Bethesda to do this, but they can pull like a Realm Reborn style planet blow up event, and then they could launch a new Fallout 76. That's not garbage.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I really don't think it's salvageable. I mean, this is coming from someone who hasn't played it, so maybe I'm being a little bit, ahead of myself here. But there have been other games, like I said, For Honor was one that started out really shitty. This is another cool one that came out from Bethesda is the Doom Eternal. Wyland in chat brings it up. I agree. The only things I cared about were Doom Eternal and the Wolfenstein game. But other than that, Bethesda had a very, very shitty, I thought, embarrassing conference. I didn't think it was well put together at all. They really shouldn't even do a big conference like that unless they're really going to wow us with something spectacular, like maybe an Elder Scrolls 6. Every writer's in chat. What's up, every writer? Welcome on in. We're talking E3, a bunch of video games.
Then there's Ubisoft, which had Watch Dogs Legions, was somewhat more interesting than the Watch Dogs is, because Watch Dogs is kind of boring open world game where you shoot and bang bang, but yeah. They're doing something a little bit different with this game, where you can play as different NPCs.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. To be honest with you, the big winner to me was Square Enix. I mean, they hit it out of the park.
Dungeon Buster was the guy that was screaming at every announcement for Bethesda, the same guy that shouted Tifa in the Final Fantasy VII reveal.
Yeah, he says there was one dude that kept screaming at every announcement for Bethesda. It was really off-putting for the announcers, I thought, Dungeon. It was crazy. Wyland says Legion has his attention. So, for sure. I don't know. It did seem like there were those people at the conferences that were, very overzealous. It happens at every conference. You get the one or two jackasses that won't let people speak without. I know they're enthusiastic. They're big gamers like everybody else. But
there was that guy that shouted at Microsoft about how, who Keanu Reeves was breathtaking, and he apparently got a free copy because of that.
Yeah. Dungeon said, I was only watching for Youngblood and Doom Eternal 2. The rest were eh. I totally agree, Dungeon. I thought they had a shitty conference. I mean, I thought the clear-cut winners of E3 were Square Enix for sure. I thought Nintendo had a great conference with all their announcements. They announced some Dragon Quest Heroes characters for Smash Brothers, amongst other. Banjo-Kazooie was another one that was announced.
Then there's Collection Mana, which actually has the third Mana game in it, Seiken Densetsu.
Yeah, that was a surprise. I was really...
And that's also getting a remake.
Yeah, and I was really surprised at that collection. Did you pick that up?
And it's a remake that doesn't look like garbage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So...
Just like the Adventures of Mana and the Secret of Mana remakes were terrible. The Secret of Mana is enjoyable enough, and so is Adventures of Mana, but... You could tell they put, like, almost no effort into those games.
Yeah. You know what game I really thought stole the show, Eric? Was a game called, it's the Tales of Ariza or Riza, whatever. Arise or whatever, however you pronounce that. I thought that was spectacular. I think
that was kind of put off by the fact there's no Switch version of it currently announced.
Yeah. Well,
it looks like a game that wouldn't run well on Switch, but they could downgrade it some and make it work. It just looked less visually appealing.
Well,
I think there is going to be Ace Tales game on the Switch. I don't think it's going to be that, but it's going to be a different Tales game.
Yeah. Also,
but it's not E3 ready, obviously.
Speaking of the Switch, there was a huge announcement, man. Witcher 3 for the Switch. I've already looked at the Digital Foundry analysis of, you know, the differences, and I actually think it's super impressive. I know that there's a visual downgrade, but it's
720p and it's 30 FPS, but
yeah.
But like, if they can keep it at constant 30, that would be great, because the Switch struggles with keeping it stuff at constant for like higher level game looking like that.
Honestly, I thought it looked great. The little piece that we saw what, less than 30 seconds worth of.
And a game like that would be great for the Switch because you could just have a quick session.
I agree. I mean, I personally probably won't play it because I'm so used to the great visuals on the PS4 and the Xbox One X has the best version of The Witcher, which is, you know, that's to be expected. It's got better hardware.
The PC version.
Oh, yeah. Right. I don't play PC. PC is obviously the king of all when it comes to visuals and frame rate and everything else. But so a lot of interesting stuff. Eric, what did you think of the Project Scarlet announcement?
Why do we even want to bother with AK?
I agree.
Games still struggle to get 1080p and 60 frames per second.
Right. But here's the thing, Eric.
And 4K is not even an accepted standard yet. It's just the newest thing.
Yeah. I think the real target is going to be 60 frames at 4K, which is going to be really difficult to do even with the new hardware that's coming out. But look, if Xbox says that it can do 8K, 120 frames per second, I'd like to see any game in 8K 40. I mean, 8K that's a pipe dream, man. Like,
but I don't even want to buy an Xbox One X now. I just might as well just wait.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you, dude. I mean, as long as there's backwards.
And backwards compatibility. There was a bunch of backwards compatibility games. Sadly, Resonance of Fate was not among them, but Ashura's Wrath was.
Yeah.
So if I want to play Resonance of Fate, I'm going to have to get the PS4 or the PC version.
Wasn't it Last Remnant is getting a remaster, Eric? The one that we always go
Switch. It's on Switch now.
Yeah. I think that's
like $20 too, which I guess is a decent price.
I agree, and I think that is definitely an underrated game.
That game was developed by Kawazu from the Saga series, so you could tell it's going to be zany.
yeah, which is cool. I mean, that's really cool. L33 Studios in chat. Welcome, L33 Studio.
We have Kawazu. The Romancing Saga 3 and Scarlet Grace has got formal announcements.
Yeah.
Because we knew they were happening, we just didn't know when. Yeah. So, like, apparently it's going to be really soon for 3.
You know, the one thing that I think that PlayStation, the way that PlayStation wins next generation is to have backwards compatibility not only with the PS4, but the PS3. Do a legacy system. Let everything be played on it, which I don't know how possible that would be. I
think it might be harder for the PS2 because of its emotion engine, but. Or whatever the engine they were using.
Yeah, if they could do that, Eric, if they could get PS2 games playable on the PlayStation 5, I think they would kill next gen, man. It would be over before it even started.
They just need to take the emulators they have now and just make them better.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Just how PlayStation Now does PlayStation 3 stuff, just figure out a way to get that to work on the machine.
Yeah. Witcher 3, Dungeon was surprised to see Witcher 3 go to Switch. We talked a little bit about that, Dungeon. It is surprising, but holy shit.
But they also need to change their PlayStation Now service to be more affordable.
Yeah,
instead I agree of paying $20 a month, you should be paying like $10 a month, like they have Game Pass.
Yeah, I totally agree. $10 a month.
It used to be 30, but now it's 20 apparently.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Scarlet. The one interesting thing about Scarlet that I really enjoy and I think is going to help gaming more than 8K, more than fucking 120 frames per second, which obviously are pipe dreams. I think it's a solid state drive.
It's not just a solid state drive though. It's like the fact that they're using cloud servers to also help with loading.
Yes. But I honestly, just this solid state drive alone is going to help load times incredibly.
I should get an external hard disk drive for my PS4 and then move all of my games to that and like swap out whatever hard drive I have in there with a solid state drive.
Yeah. I mean, it would. Yeah, for sure, man. It's going to be cool. I'm excited, but it's the Scarlet's capable of 120 frames per second in 8K visuals, but honestly, nobody is expecting that, man. I mean, I think I would be ecstatic if they could even do 1080p 60 frames per second, which I've been calling for forever. And if you could do 4K 60 frames per second,
it's not as if the human eye can see beyond 4K anyway.
Right, exactly.
So it's kind of pointless. Like, they're doing this just because they can, not because we need it.
Well,
make things look better.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I think HDR is definitely a big thing that both systems are definitely gonna delve into later. Every writer says, I didn't go and see much from E3, but I heard they were going video game consoles, going video game console-less with many games, like the PS4 games on your cell phone. There was talk of that, every writer, but who was it, Microsoft, Eric, that did... They had like a cloud server based like kind of platform where you could play on any kind of system. I don't think the tech is quite there yet. I know I saw one of the engines, not engines, I don't know what they call it. Like,
I think they just did that to say that we're doing this, but we're not going to be like Stadia and launch a console you have to pay a subscription service for, and then pay a subscription service for this publisher and that publisher, like Netflix, on top of that, which is stupid.
Yeah. Weiland says Ed Boon and a few people at Microsoft are getting people's hopes up for a KI Thunder skin for Nightwolf. That would be interesting. I doubt that happens, Weiland. You never know, though. You really never know.
I do want to go back to the Microsoft conference and the fact that they've revealed that Phantasy Star Online 2 is finally coming to the West. Yes. Unfortunately, it is only North America so far.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, any version is going to be gangbusters.
Yeah, there, but like Europe gets fucked over, and so does the Middle East.
That's true, too.
Because Sega, you fucking dinguses, all you have to do is turn all your servers into global servers so they're not region locked and everybody can play. Problem solved.
Yeah, I know. They just
want to find a way to make that goddamn shit work.
They won't do it, Eric. I mean, I don't know what it is about that, man. They won't do it. Okay. Let's see.
I'd like to find out why it took so long, though. It's like 7 years.
Yeah.
Almost a decade since that game launched.
Weiland says, going to make a guess and say that the next Killer Instinct will be a launch title for Scarlet. I'm going to guess that you might be onto something, Weiland, from the rumblings that I've been hearing. I think you might be right.
PSO2, like, I thought at first it was just going to be an Xbox and PC thing, but apparently it's going to be launching on all platforms eventually.
Yeah. I thought
includes the Vita version, so the Vita is still going to get a game.
You know what bothers me most about announcements, Eric? The thing that bothers me the most about announcements is... the fact that most people are just doing these shitty CGI trailers instead of giving us gameplay, man. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Based on what like some developers are saying, is like apparently some journalists don't blame developers for just withholding gameplay, because usually people will see the gameplay and it looks like shit because they'll usually have like an alpha build ready. And it'll have lots of problems, and they don't want negative press because of that.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think of Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077, Eric?
It's easier to trick people with lesser minds to just get hyped over CG trailers.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. So I thought Cyberpunk 2077 looked good. It looked strong, and the addition of Keanu Reeves didn't hurt.
I mean, there are things about that game I don't care for. And I'm not even talking about CD Projekt Red's working conditions. I'm talking about the fact that the game doesn't have a custom character creator, and it just doesn't let you make an intersex character if you want, or the game has this very set character. I don't know the situation with that, but the thing is, they're fetishizing intersex in the game through via ads, because like they showed that picture of that trans person, but you can see the raging dick. Yeah. It's like, you can do this, but you can't make this character. Okay, that's weird.
Well, I mean, I guess it's progress, Eric. I mean, that's the best that you can say. Dungeon says, by the way, console streaming...
I don't know if we call that progress. It's kind of like a hurt and heal. Like, they did something good, but they also did something shitty.
I guess. Dungeon says, by the way, console streaming for the Xbox will preview in October. Was surprised to see Keanu Reeves likely will be playing Johnny Silverhand from the cyberpunk setting. That's cool. I mean, I'm down. I don't think anybody's hotter than Keanu Reeves right now, to be honest with you, Dungeon. I mean, John Wick 3 knocked it out of the park this year, and I don't think you can get a much better action franchise than John Wick.
That reminds me, all the Terminator inserts in Gears 5 and then Cyberpunk.
Right? Yeah, Gears 5 was what I was referring to. They didn't show any gameplay. It was just a fucking CGI trailer from what I remember. But
they'll play like Gears. That's why they didn't show play games.
Yeah. What did you think of Elden Ring, Eric? Another CGI trailer.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go on a limb and say it's gonna be more like Dark Souls, but with the more wider environments that you see in games like Sekiro, maybe wider than that.
I agree. I actually think it's gonna be a little lighter than the previous. Like when I say lighter, I mean like
more colors and you can see things.
Yeah, not quite as dark as the Dark Souls games. So there was a Persona 5 announcement. There's going to be Persona 5 characters in Catherine, which is interesting. I don't know how that's going to work. I think those
are probably going to be for the multiplayer.
Yeah, I would guess. Apparently Yoshinori Kitase confirmed that Final Fantasy VII Remake will go until the escape from Midgar on Final Fantasy VII. This is another interesting thing.
Yeah, it's still episodic, and it's they say it's two Blu-rays, but it's probably more like if you download it, it's probably going to be like two Blu-rays worth of shit. So that's like 100 gigabytes. So that's like the same as we're seeing with Red Dead.
Yeah, too. Data caps are going to kill people next gen for sure, man. And it's going to be stupidly.
But I can understand Midgar being very much expanded because since we only got a small cross section of the lower half of Midgar.
Yeah.
Making a whole game based on that makes sense, and then the rest of the game flowing at a pace that we'd expect from Disc 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And the rest of it.
Yeah. Wyland says, don't forget the Terminator is rumored for MK11 as well. That would be a great addition. Wyland, I'm hoping for other characters. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, Chucky or, you know, a various array of horror icons joining the fray. I know Spawn was announced for the first DLC pack, which is a nice addition. So there'll be some good ones.
To be continued like the Trails games do.
Yeah. Dungeon says Elden Ring is like a mystery. I'm expecting it to have a lot of lore because of Martin and be difficult because of From Software. That's exactly how I feel.
This is how Square should do the to be continued. They should put it out on a freeze frame like JoJo and then play like the Yes song.
Yeah. Dungeon says, ouch, data caps for sure, man. Like, data caps are going to be crazy next gen. I think that one of these monopolies is going to have to relent and do unlimited data, some type of unlimited data plan. Because with 4K, I mean, it's just too much. Games are crazy. Especially if your console crashes and you got to re-download fucking games, forget it, man. Dungeon says he wants to see that too, Eric. So what else has happened? E3 definitely. Monster Hunter World, Iceborne, hands-on impressions. People are really digging that, so that's really cool. Let me scroll and see some more stuff here. I know wasn't there a Ni No Kuni DLC?
Yeah, Ni No Kuni for Switch.
Yeah,
a shitty PS3 version of the game, which is not the DS version of the game, which is a superior game.
Every writer says I did see this. Every writer, and it's going to tie into the crunch thing. Amazon laid off dozens of game developers during E3. He's asking if we saw that. They snuck that.
But I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised, and they kind of did sneak that in. I think the timing was fucking awful for that, Every Writer, for sure.
Well, really like, sucks. Amazon's game division already is kind of non-existent, so
yeah.
I guess it's a matter of time before they pull the plug.
Yeah. They showed more of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which was obviously looking good. The Trails of Mana stuff we talked about earlier. I'm trying to look through. There's so much news, guys. I mean, there was
Trials, not Trails.
Trails.
You got Trails in the Sky on the print.
Yeah, I must, man. Let me see if there's anything else here.
Speaking of which, I had a hard time trying to find a copy of Cold Steel in the store, which is why I was late.
Yeah.
Go.
Try to see. Most of it is Final Fantasy VII. Oh, here's something interesting. I wish Break was here because they're doing a Dark Crystal, what do they call it? Dark Crystal Age of Resistance tactic game. So that's cool. I mean, I guess if you like strategy.
I like tactics games, but I get the feeling it's gonna play like a really poorly done version of Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
It looked okay, though, Eric. I mean, I saw the footage of it. For a strategy game, I thought it looked fine. I didn't see any... I mean, obviously, you have to get hands-on with it and figure out...
When's the Netflix series start?
I have no idea. That's a good question. Anybody out there know when the Dark Crystal series on Netflix starts? That would be, you know, something to do. What'd you like from Nintendo, Eric? Because I thought they had a really, really strong conference.
Well, we already knew about Super Mario Maker 2. Yeah. But they revealed some more details from Link's Awakening remake, and you're going to be able to make your own dungeons.
Yeah.
So, like, Zelda Maker, I guess.
Yeah. Dragon Quest Builders 2, they showed a little bit of footage of that.
There's No More Heroes 3, which is cool to see.
Yeah, Bernie says...
And not only that, but that game has become a tokusatsu game because you're transforming, and he's saying Henshin, and he looks very much like Kamen Rider when he transforms.
Yeah. Dungeon says August 30th. Bernie says Animal Crossing. This is an interesting story. We were talking about Crunch. Before I got on the show, I talked about a surprise announcement that Nintendo is pushing back Animal Crossing to 2020. I believe the date was like March 20th or something. I can't remember the date on it, but it's interesting because the impression I got was because they wanted to avoid crunch. And if people don't know what crunch is, that's the like weeks leading up to the release of a game where people work mad overtime. They get worked to the bone. They get really tired. Some of them quit. I mean, it's an awful time for video game makers, and it should never happen. What do you think about that, Eric? I mean, I think that's it definitely dropped Nintendo's stock prices a little bit.
Now I wonder if Nintendo has done crunch and they saw the news and they're like, we better change course.
Yeah. Well.
Because like Sakurai, I think Sakurai 5 self-inflicted his own harm.
Yeah.
But like Nintendo never told him to stop though. So.
Yeah. Dungeons or Wyland says Mario Maker 2. Dungeon says Builders 2 looks interesting. Glad that you won't completely forget everything like you did in the last game. He also says Crunch, otherwise known as BioWare Magic. Oh, God, man. Don't.
By magic, we mean the magic of our pocketbooks suddenly expanding.
The magic of our managers having whips to whip our employees into submission until they get the game out. That's what that is known as. I'm not a Minecraft player, Eric, but I thought that Minecraft Dungeons looked really... I think that's what they call it, Minecraft Dungeons. I thought that looked pretty interesting.
Then there's that RPG time, the Something of Light, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I
that
know...
That looks like a kid's drawings.
Yes, and I thought that looked okay. What else, man? There was so much stuff there that I thought looked impressive. I mentioned
there was a bunch of Devolver stuff.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
There was that one with the like the virus or something that's like killing people.
Yeah, Borderlands 3. There was a little more about that. Daemon X Machina was interesting. Oops.
I hope they fixed the frame rate issues that the demo had.
Yeah. Darksiders Genesis was revealed. That was interesting. There's some DLC or an expansion pack for Final Fantasy 14, which I thought was interesting. Fire Emblem Three Houses looked pretty damn good.
I want to get that, but it comes out next month, and lots of other shit's coming out next month, and I only want to probably have money for Dragon Quest Builders too.
What was that big open world shooter game that's coming out, Eric? That's like maybe a, it's like Other Worlds or
Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds. I thought looked interesting. I might not be my bag, but that looked really interesting.
It's made by the former Obsidian people.
Yeah, yeah. So I think
That did Fallout in Vegas and stuff.
So let's sum it up, Eric. I, in my opinion, I thought Square Enix probably had the best conference, followed real closely by Nintendo. I thought Microsoft had a decent conference. I didn't think they killed it, but I you know, it was good. I liked the Scarlet announcement. Hated Bethesda's. I thought it was an embarrassing conference for Bethesda, to be honest with you. And I think that was pretty much E3 in a nutshell. I know I'm missing, I've missed some things here and there, but I thought that stuff was, you know.
Let's talk about Contra Retro Core. No, I mean Rogue Core.
I saw that. That's interesting.
It looks like it might be fun, but the one thing that bothers me the most about it is the fact that not only is it third person and not side-scrolling, I mean, there's pseudo-side-scrolling parts, but the fact that your gun can overheat if you fire it for too long.
Yeah.
I mean, I can kind of see it making sense, because when you're normally playing Contra and you're holding down the fire button without letting go, there's too many bullets on the screen, and it's kind of hard to tell where the enemy bullets are sometimes.
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying to cut down on the bullet real estate so that you can actually see who's firing at you.
Yeah. Angel Light is in chat. Welcome on in. Another TV viewer is also
in chat. Who knows? Maybe the cooldowns are like faster than we think they are. Yeah.
Cash Bear is in chat. Welcome, Cash Bear.
His dungeon's like the panda is the real Contra. is it a robot in a panda suit, or is it like just a panda bot? Yeah. I don't know.
Lead Studios in chat. I finally got that right. I kept saying L33T Studio, and it's Lead Studio. I don't speak Lead most times. So
yeah, and Astral Chain looks fun too. That comes in August.
Yeah. Treehouse showed off some of these.
I'm surprised that Square Enix didn't talk anything about Babylon, whatever the hell that game is, from Platinum.
Yeah, for sure. I was disappointed. I knew there wasn't going to be an Elder Scrolls announcement from BioWare, Eric, but
you mean Bethesda?
I mean Bethesda. I'm sorry, I'm getting them mixed up sometimes. Yeah, Bethesda, but. I really wish they would have at least mentioned that they're, you know, further in development or something on it, but wow, nothing.
And we got a release date for Code Vein, so that's nice. September.
Code Vein got a release date. That was pretty good.
I'm going to need to tap the Namco about that.
Dungeon said he was really hoping to hear something on Babylon this E3. Yeah, nothing on Babylon, Dungeon.
Babylon Lost is, I think, is the full name of the game.
Yeah. Really, really surprised not to hear anything. Maybe they're just not that far in development, man. I mean, you never know. Let's move on, Eric. Homie discounts for you guys this week. The Days of Play still going on strong. I just picked up Detroit Become Human. I got the deluxe version because it came with a couple of dynamic themes and a digital art book and stuff for like $12.99. That's, you know, total. So that was a good price. I know Batman Arkham is only $6. I think it's worth $6. Other than the Batmobile sequences, that's a pretty solid game for $6. What else? Dark Souls 3 Deluxe Edition was like $21. I think that's pretty good. I think the Dark Souls 1 Remastered Edition was $23, which I'm waiting for a better sale on that, but I want to pick that up eventually. Didn't see anything on the Xbox super exciting or Nintendo, so I'm going to skip those. Breakman's not here, so we'll save. If you guys send in Dear Breakman questions to RP Grinders, just hold off on those. We'll get to them next week, so when Break is back, hopefully everything's going good with him. So, anyways,
the one thing that bothered me about the Avengers game reveal is that it seems to be set up as like a game with a campaign that you can play, but it's going to be primarily a games as a live service model.
Yeah,
And that bothers me, even though they said there was no like microtransaction nonsense. It's like, but yeah, it's a game that probably won't be all that fun to play after the live service closes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to this, Eric.
And only six Avengers, no, five Avengers. What?
Go ahead, Eric. Are you done?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Eric. I know we've been talking a lot about E3 and stuff, but what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot. Just, I decided I'd start my playthrough of Trails of Zero. I got that game.
Oh, awesome. Good.
But the fan translation, it's not complete, but it's complete enough so that you can play through the game to the end.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good.
And
to
it's
hear.
Rough in some spots. Like, you could tell, like, where they didn't stick with Xseed's conventions, because, like they have this concept called the Divine Blade, which is, like, the highest, like, rank or, like, title that they've given, like, somebody who's, like, a very good sword master. But, like, they decided to call them the Saint Sword, which is a more literal translation.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right. But it's like some weird Frankenstein baby of the it's the visual quality is the same as the PSP game, but it's ripped the voice tracks from all the Evolution games.
Okay.
So like they somehow tweaked it to work like that, but I think in order to do that they had to break the dialogue advance button, so now it just runs on auto, so it's weird.
Yeah, Dungeon said he had to dig up his ancient save file for that one and was happy to still have his op weapons. He's talking about the free DLC for Borderlands 2, Commander Lilith and the fight for Sanctuary. Yeah. I've been playing, check this out, Eric. I've delivered yet again on completing a game. I played and beat Last of Us.
I wasn't done with all the games I played.
Oh, what else have you been playing, Eric?
Other than that, I played London Detective Mysteria and some more of that.
Daedalus?
No, I didn't play any of that, but I played a little bit more of the Masquerada, okay. And the review of that is on Totally GM right now.
That's awesome. Good deal.
And the review of Kodama is up in the Boston Bash Brigade. And if you read those and you like what I've written, you can go to my Patreon and give me a little as a dollar and help me out.
Yeah, give Eric more than a dollar. He deserves more.
And there's my plug. So.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I played, as I said, Last of Us, and I beat it. Super surprising that I beat it, because, man, that last level, man, it's super difficult. Man, I played on normal difficulty, but it's a great game, man. I mean, they did a really good – Naughty Dog, man, hats off to them, man. They are – there's something else. Dungeon says, grats on finishing Last of Us. I love it, Dungeon. I did beat it. I didn't think I was for a while. I got to the Blizzard section with Ellie, and I was having a tough time because stealth, it really isn't my bag when it comes to gaming, but I was kind of doing all right, man. I got to the point where I just made a bunch of bombs and just started bombing the shit out of people, regardless if they're just regular soldiers or what, but... I blasted my way through that game almost literally. I did some stealth, and Dungeon would have been proud of me in a couple of spots. But so I did that, and then I started in on the DLC, Last of Us Left Behind. Last of Us Left Behind is, I believe, more difficult. Man, I'm having a hell of a time. I think it's harder than the main game on normal levels. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But fun game. It's good. It's more Last of Us. I'm hoping that Last of Us 2 just does a really good job of, picking up the pieces of that game and moving on with them. And it's got an interesting morality tale at the end, which I was pretty surprised with. So, those are my games. If I'm giving a review of it, I think it's a beautiful game. I think it's up there with the best of the best. That remaster is fantastic. It looks great. It looks almost as good as anything Uncharted has done. I know Uncharted is kind of like the ultimate standard of fucking graphics on the PS4, but Last of Us Remastered is pretty fucking good. I wouldn't put it up there in the God of War camp or anything, but I like it. I give it a solid 9 out of 10. I had a great time. And if somebody like me can beat that game, then anybody can beat that game. So, you know, Last of Us is done and in the books. Working on that DLC, Last of Us Left Behind, and hopefully I'll have that done next week. Maybe Dungeon knows. How long is Last of Us Left Behind? It's got to be shorter than the main game. I'm not 100% sure. All right, Eric, I didn't see you have anything else in your reviews or for reviews, but I have some reviews. Did you have anything to review or not?
No.
Okay. Then let's do this.
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, I'm going to do these really quick in quick succession. I've got three movies. I'm a big horror fan. They're all horror. An old one. Dungeon might have seen this, the old one that I got here. But The Inhabitants. Saw this. It's about a couple that buys a bed and breakfast in New England, and things quickly devolve as the woman basically gets possessed, and there's some ghost and, you know, goblin type stuff. No, not goblin. I'm just kidding. I wanted to make a video game reference there, but I thought it was a solid, scary movie. It doesn't have a ton of jump scares or anything, but it's not quite a slow burn movie. It moves at a, you know, pretty decent pace. I thought the acting was middling but passable. Direction was fantastic, I thought. I thought some of the cinematography shots in that movie were actually really well done. I'm going to give Inhabitants a solid 7 out of 10. Here's the one that Dungeon might have seen before. Twilight Zone, the movie. And Wyland might have seen that too if he's still in chat. But Twilight Zone, the movie, is an old 80s, you know, kind of like, I really don't know why this movie was made, to be honest with you. I know Twilight Zone was thought of like being brought back at the time and stuff, but I like a couple of stories. The first story was not the Vietnam story, but it was the about the bigot who, you know, kept on antagonizing these black dudes in this bar, basically, by, you know, calling out the N-word and everything else in the book. And he ends up being put in these scenarios where he's like a Holocaust survivor or just a Holocaust person, you know, being sent on a train. And another one involves him being lynched. And I mean, it was actually really good. And I forgot about that story. And then it's sort of like an anthology movie where there's like three, four different stories. The very beginning kind of snippet story with Brooks and Aykroyd I thought was really good. Do you want to see something really scary? And then they bookended at the end of the movie with Dan Aykroyd as the ambulance driver. But another of the story was kind of weaker, about this little boy who... you know, people were really afraid of this boy because basically he was like God in that little world. And there was another story. How could I forget the John Lithgow flight sequence story, which was always my favorite when I saw it the first time. But I've never given this movie a review, and I kind of wanted to do it. I give it a solid 7.5 out of 10. I think it's as anthologies go, is pretty solid. I mean, anthologies are always a mixed bag, man. I don't think I've ever seen an anthology where I really liked every single story in it. Every writer says good movie. Lithgow was fantastic in it, Dungeon Buster. I think that was obviously the standout story of that movie. Cleaning Lady. I don't know if anybody, you know, before I get to Cleaning Lady, let me speak a little bit about one of the stories in Twilight Zone. I know John Landis, every writer says the directors were Steven Spielberg, John Landis, Joe Dante, and George Miller. John Landis, was sued over that movie. There was a Vietnamese girl that was actually killed in that movie, and I think another actor was killed as well because of a helicopter kind of like crash, and like the propeller, I think basically cut off their heads, and it was kind of a gruesome thing. And you can read about it online, but that's kind of the more of the lore with that movie. I think John Landis was, I go back and forth whether or not he was responsible, but some interesting reads on Twilight Zone, the movie. So, you know, check that out. All right, I'm going to go on with my last quick review this week, The Cleaning Lady. This was a surprising movie that I rented from the Redbox. And as the title implies, it's about a cleaning lady who has kind of a secret. And she's kind of a disfigured lady that befriends a woman that is obviously in need of services, and things devolve from there. It's a little surprising, man. I thought I wasn't expecting to get what I got. I thought it was a solid movie. If you want a good, you know, kind of well-paced, brisk, you know, experience with a few scares, then Cleaning Lady is going to be right up your alley, especially if you're a horror fan like I am. I give it a solid 7 out of 10. I think it's well worth the Redbox rental that I rented it on. All right, I actually have a Heiskapade this week, Eric. I don't know if you have one, but I saw this. It's a new story that's been going around. I don't know if you saw this, Eric, but there is an alligator that is out in the wild in Houston that is going around with a knife in its head and still swimming. And it's actually really eerie to see. I don't know how this alligator got that knife in its head. I don't even know if I want to know if how that alligator is still living. But apparently, like, alligators have like a skull that's, you know, granite, apparently. But if you go online now, you can definitely see a picture of, or a video. I don't know if it's a video here. I'll try to put it up on the screen for people out there now. Of course, my thing is,
we're talking about scary movies. And then one other game I completely forgot about was the Blair Witch game.
Oh, the Blair Witch. How could we be remiss if we didn't talk
from
about
the
that?
From the Blue Routine people who made that Observer game.
Yes. Observer is one that I'm having an interest. I have that game, and it is it's not my bag, really, of a game. I like the setting. I love Rutger Hauer. But it's confusing on what to do. And I think a lot of it has to do with the visual style of that game. But yeah, that Blair Witch game does look fantastic, Eric. I am totally.
And there's also the Breath of the Wild sequel.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
Like they at the very end of the trailer, you see the husk of a guy who's got long red hair, looks a lot like Ganon.
Yeah. And I'm showing.
He's either Ganon, Demise, or Yuga.
Yeah,
because like they all have red hair.
Yeah, I'm showing the gator with a knife in its head, Eric. It is. It's fucking crazy, man. I don't know if you've seen this, but
he's got quite a headache, doesn't he?
I read about this, Eric, and
or maybe it didn't even pierce the skin; it's just stuck there.
No, in his armor. I read about this specifically. No, it looks like it's lodged in there, Eric. Like it's really, really lodged in there. But the thing about it is, I'm going to go ahead and pause it on that thing because, wow, that's crazy. What I read is that alligator skulls are so thick that doubtful that it. I mean, obviously, it didn't pierce the brain, and the alligators have like antibodies in their blood that will help with healing. So there's no problems with this, apparently, like other than a minor superficial flesh wound. You know, every writer says it looks like it goes through his brain, but it doesn't. Apparently they have really thick skulls.
Did Dundee get into a fight with a gator, but he decided to run away?
That's not a knife. No, that's a knife. And then he fights with it and sticks it right in the head. Yeah, exactly, man. I don't know. I think that's crazy, man. But so anyways, there you go. There's your Heiskapade for the week. An alligator with a knife.
I'm right through the movie coming out called Crawl.
There is, and it looks good, and I'm down for it. Crawl looks really, really cool. Every writer says, Really little brains. Yeah, thick skulls and little brains for sure. They definitely don't have as big a brain as, say, a human. But, you know. All right, let's move on to...
What's this? The Cajun dude on Swamp People says he lost his knife.
Stinko of the week.
Yeah, Slagar says, coincidence. The Cajun dude on Swamp People says he lost his knife. Oh, yeah, there you go.
No, dungeon crawl, not crawl.
crawl, not crawl. Crawl is something completely different, dungeon. Yeah, but crawl. It's a movie about an alligator. It looks good as fuck, to be honest with you. All right, Stinko of the week, Eric. What you got for us?
I don't have anything actually. Okay. Other than like, I guess I could. This is like, on one hand, it's a stink. On the other hand, it's a sweeto because Sarah Huckabee Sanders is leaving the White House.
Oh yeah, the liar.
It's a stinko though, because for one possible reason and the other reason, the possible reason is that she was forced to leave because of some nasty bullshit going on, and. Like, by nasty bullshit, I mean, like, more lawlessness that involved her having to probably get hush money or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Donald Trump thought she wasn't good-looking enough.
And the other reason is because she's not going to get punished for everything she did while she was in there. She's just going to go on to make money off of a talk show or on a cable news or on a news network somewhere like Fox.
Yeah, I just hope...
Like Kellyanne Conway did, until Kellyanne Conway got kicked by Fox, and now she's on CNN, and now she's probably going to lose that job, because she's involved in some more bullshit.
Yeah, Kellyanne Conway is a criminal. I can't say the same thing for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's obviously a piece of shit, and I don't like her, you know, for a myriad of moral reasons, but... you know, if she wants to make money, go for it. I don't really give a shit. I ain't going to be watching her. You know, I don't watch Fox News, so, you know, who cares? Speaking of pieces of shit, here's something that I didn't mention last week. I think it might have happened last week and I didn't mention it, Eric, but Joe Biden promised to cure cancer. And...
What's cancer?
exactly, Eric. There are so many different forms of cancer. He is so full of fucking shit. He has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, scientists have been working on curing cancer for decades, literally decades. And there has been very little progress. And you know why there's little progress? Because of something you just said, Eric. There are so many different forms of cancer. It's like hitting a moving target on a horse. That's how hard it is to find any bit of progress when it comes to curing cancer. There have been definite advancements, and scientists are working on it, but scientists doesn't go at the pace of when we want things to go. Science goes at the pace of science. So,
this also reminds me of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez fear-mongering by saying we have, like, 12 years left on the planet to do something about climate change, which is not true. But so she needs to get educated and bone up on her science and not, like, be super passionate and do hyperbole all the time.
Yeah.
Because especially if you want to look good in the not only the eyes of the scientific community, but also people you're trying to convince. If you're going to exaggerate, nobody's going to take you seriously.
I don't think it's quite an exaggeration, Eric. The numbers I was looking at.
Yeah, well, Potholer has a video out that talks about why what she did was not right.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, we shouldn't lose all hope.
And it's not about whether or not we have 12 years. It's more like we have 12 years to do something about climate change before a certain degree change happens.
Yeah, but I think
which won't kill us, but still won't be good.
I would rather us be really scared about that particular topic than almost anything else, Eric, because there is a point of no return. You know, I don't believe it's in 11 years like AOC says.
I don't even think it's 31 years.
No, maybe it is.
It's probably still very close. It's probably like 50, 70 years.
I've seen the numbers, Eric, and it seems to me like there is a point. I think the numbers were in like 12 to 15 years where if the greenhouse emissions weren't cut at least by 50%, then we're on a downward fucking spiral. And there's no circling out of that drain. You know what I'm saying? So I know what you're saying, and you're right. And she really shouldn't, you know, like, try to fearmonger people. But what else is it going to take, Eric? Like, are we going to just be at the point in 50 years where everybody is just super suffering because it's so hot in Colorado that it's almost unlivable? What about Arizona? It's almost unlivable now in Arizona. So, you know, I mean, these are things that we have to, if ever there was something to fearmonger about or try to get people in the right direction by shocking people, this would be it, Erica. And it's unfortunate that it has to be that way. I wish, you know, I want to make a smaller footprint. Like, when I get a car, I'm really considering getting an all electric vehicle. You know, the problems being you can't go cross country with that type of vehicle unless you know, super plan things in advance. But I don't know. I would err on the side of let's get people at least riled up about it and get working in the right direction than simply doing nothing or doing incrementalism, which never fucking works. You know, I mean, being incrementalist is, you know, I want my cake and eat it right now. I don't want to wait, you know, 50 years to get a crumb of that cake, Eric. I want things to change. You know what else I want to change, Eric? People getting shot. David Ortiz got shot, and if people don't know who David Ortiz, he was a great baseball player for the Boston Red Sox. I'm not a huge Red Sox fan, but it was a tough deal, man. He got shot through the stomach, so they had to remove part of his stomach, most of his intestines, and then ship him back to the United States to get further treatment and get another surgery to fix even more stuff. So that in itself is not good, you know, just for somebody. And come to find out, he wasn't even the target, which makes it even more kind of tragic. Luckily, he's alive and you know, he probably will, you know, come out of it and do better. But, you know, it brings to the forefront guns, Eric. I think we need some – I mean, I know this didn't happen in the United States, but – it's a perfect segue to talk about maybe having background checks and, you know, certain other things. I don't want to infringe on anybody's rights. That's not what I'm about, but, you know, definitely taking a look at some of the, you know, people that do own guns, and maybe if you're, you know, unstable, maybe you shouldn't have a gun type of thing. You know, if you can't make that choice yourself, maybe we need to make that choice for you. I don't know, man. But so that was my other stinko of the week. Terrible news, but hopefully full recovery for David Ortiz. I mean, luckily he has enough money to hopefully get him through this period and live the rest of his life in peace and not get shot again, man. Holy shit. That is pretty tragic. So, all right, let's move on to...
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet of the week.
All right, Eric, do you have a sweet-o? I know you kind of mentioned Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Do you have anything else you want to talk about in sweet-os?
I made it through the week, and I don't have to work on Saturday, even though I did 10 hours previously.
Well, that's definitely a plus, man. That's definitely a sweet-o of the week. My sweet-o this week is something I call spatial awareness. Okay. Have you ever, obviously you've been walking before, right, Eric? And when you're at...
No, that's not something you call that stuff thing.
Well, spatial awareness is a thing. Let me explain, Eric.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
When you're out and about and you're walking, Eric, and you're at a stop sign or a stoplight, what is the most fundamental thing you do before you cross that street?
You look.
Yeah, you look, but you look both ways, right? I mean, that's what they teach you when you're little, you know, look both ways and yada, yada, yada. Okay. So, yeah, exactly. I don't want to say where we were, but we were at a place where you kind of had to wait for a second to kind of check in and, you know, take your seat and stuff. So, there was someone being helped in front of us. And they were getting their picture taken by one of those little webcam things, right? And so, I don't know, Bernie and I were kind of talking. And, oh, Freak Five's in chat. What's up, Freak Five? And so She kind of, like, she was, like, raring to go up to the counter and talk to the people at the counter. And I was like, oh, hold on. And as soon as I said, hold on, she just walked straight into that picture being taken by a woman. And I was like, I thought it was funny as hell. But, it's like one of those things, like, she had no spatial awareness, you know. She had, like, no clue what was going on around her. So I thought that I'd bring that to all of you.
Do you have a weed awareness, though?
Weed awareness? Like, what do you mean?
like a weed dar, like you could just detect weed.
I always have a weed awareness, man. If I smell, I could smell weed like a mile away, dude. Like I know that scent like the back of my hand, literally.
Instead of a bloodhound, you'd be a weed hound.
Exactly. Freak Vibe says Stinkle this week. Someone backed into his car while he was at work today. Did they at least leave you a note?
I got
or
a friend fact for y'all. He's actually McGruff.
McGruff. McGruff, yeah. So
I guess freaks' cars are just magnets for other cars.
Yeah.
So what is this, accident 3, 4?
I don't know, man. I think Freak 5 just needs other people need to have spatial awareness when Freak 5 is in the area. Freak Five says Stinkle this week. Someone backed in his car. Sweeto, the security guard saw it, knows who did it, and they are a coworker. So he's going to get her insurance info next time she works. That is good, Freak Five. Fuck that. That's some bullshit, man. I'm glad to see a security guard actually worth his or her salt, because most security guards don't give a fuck about anything, man, and are. Not worthy of their position, to be honest. At least the ones that I've dealt with, at all. But there you go. So spatial awareness for sure. Okay, let's move on to our free for all. It's a free for all. Okay. I guess she just drove off. Freak Five says that's some bullshit, man. All right. Let's talk about this, Eric. I know we touched on it earlier, but Nintendo and the whole crunch thing with the Animal Crossing announcement. I think more companies need to take Nintendo's lead on this, and I hope Nintendo keeps doing it.
It's really shitty that capitalism is basically punishing Nintendo for this, because their stock market price dropped about a billion.
Yes, and that really sucks. I was going to talk about that in particular, Eric. Like they,
you goddamn fucking shareholders don't care about anything except getting money in short term.
Yeah, the shareholders never care. They only care about their bottom line, which I guess most people in a capitalist society believe that, Eric. But that did cost Nintendo quite a bit. I mean, they'll recover their stock prices. There's no question about that. When Animal Crossing comes out, they're going to sell more systems, because Animal Crossing sells systems. I know that sounds weird. They'll get their money back and then some. But the problem is the capitalistic system where you make an announcement to help people, to help your own employees, and the shares go down because of it, Eric. And it's actually quite sickening. I know there's a lot of talk about democratic socialism and stuff like that, but I really think the time has come to like really examine these type of particular instances where a company does its employees right, and they end up getting fucked by their shareholders and by the stocks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I honestly don't understand how we live in a world right now where giving people some hard-earned, well-thought-out time off from their job, which everybody needs. You know, nobody can go all the time without vacations and not go a little batty and never have fun. You know what I mean? I mean, these people are working 80 to 100 or 100 plus hours a week sometimes just to get something done for a
day. Usually they don't get overtime pay.
Yeah. And no overtime pay, because a lot of them are on like contracted jobs. Right, Eric? I mean, that's how it works. I mean, it would be a different thing. You know what really should happen? If you're a company, in an ideal world, if you're a company and you want employees to work over because, you know, you have to. There's certain industries. Like, I worked in one. I used to be a cable person that also did phone service. And phone service is no joke. You had to get, you know, people their phone service, and there could be literally no downtime or next to no downtime on somebody's phone because it could mean life or death. Right, Eric? So you would have to have people that would work overtime to try to fix issues on a phone line. And I understand that, but I was well compensated. I got overtime. But I think the overtime tiers should be different. I think if you work, like, the first 10 hours of overtime should be at a 1.5 rate, you know, like it is now. Time and a half is what they call it. And then the next 10 hours should be 2 times. And then the next 10 hours, 2.5 times. I honestly think that if companies did that, you would not see as much overtime as, you know, you do now. And I don't know if that would help something like this crunch crisis that's going on in video games, Eric. What do you think? Do you think something like offering
basically increasing the price that you're paying them as an incentive to not do overtime in the first place?
Yeah. Or do you think it would work the opposite, that people would eat up more and more hours based on money? Do you think it would go the opposite way? Do you think if there was a tiered system like that, people would clamor to get more hours? Or do you think that actually...
I think that would happen if the inverse started happening and people's paychecks started shrinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they need those extra hours at that point.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a clear-cut, way of, you know, kind of mitigating some of that damage, but
that probably wouldn't happen though, because what would happen is if they actually attempted to make them pay them less, people would riot.
Yeah, people would riot. Freak Five says, "Did break the show?" The show's still going, Freak Five. Break is, I don't know. I think he had to work overtime or something, but I'm not 100% sure he's going to make it. We're almost done with the show anyway, so, you know, if he makes it, he makes it. If not, it's no big deal. I mean, that shit happens. Life gets in the way sometimes. No problem. But anyways, I don't know, man. I've been thinking about that, Eric. Like, on one hand, I want to say that a tiered overtime system would help, but would it really help? Like, would people... Like,
wait. Break isn't breaking the chat room now.
Is break in the chat room? I don't know.
That's you. Never mind.
Yeah, that's me, man. Not
anybody. I'm thinking of his Twitter account. That's called RP Grinders.
Joby Essen is in chat. Welcome, Joby. Joja1337 is in chat. Just thought I'd mention them. So thank you all for joining the chat. The show's RP Grinders. If you're not used to the show, it's a show about role-playing games, video games, politics, and everything in between. Longest-running RPG show in the history of podcasts. as far as, like, this particular format. So I think we've been going on 11 strong years, so, Erica. So there you go. Anything else you want to talk about, Eric?
Not particularly.
Anything else, E3? I don't know if I missed anything, E3. I know there was...
I thought about doing a review of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures up through the part 4, because they're all their own series, but maybe I'll save that for next week.
Okay, what about Fire Emblem? Did you dig that announcement?
Yeah, and... some people were kind of upset initially because they thought that the entire setting was going to take place in the school, but apparently they pulled it yourself too, and that's only the prologue.
Yeah. What did you think about Judgment? Did you get a chance to see any of Judgment at E3, Eric? Because I thought it looked really cool.
No, and I didn't get review code, and I feel like Sega's just not giving me review code anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're too popular for their own good, and I'm too small.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Just because I'm probably not going to get code for Citizens of Space.
Yeah.
And I didn't get code for Rock of Ages, and that's an indie game, too.
Yeah.
And I didn't get code for Persona Q2, but I didn't expect that because They get codes directly from Nintendo, and Nintendo's the ones handing out codes. And if you're not a big guy, you're not going to get code.
Yeah.
And it was their last project, too, so it's like they probably didn't give a shit about how many copies they got.
Yeah. Freak 5 said Godzilla was awesome. I like Godzilla, Freak 5. We talked about it last week.
I wonder, though, if I can get, like, a review unit for the Sega Mini, though.
Yeah, keep trying, man. We talked about a little bit about Godzilla last week.
And that heard some not-so-good things about Judgment. So
hang on, Eric.
But then again, this was Sterling talking about it, and he tends to find very nitpicky reasons to not like things most of the time, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, Eric. Let me finish with this Godzilla talk. Freak 5 said Godzilla was awesome. I agree. I liked it, Freak 5. I thought it delivered.
Oh yeah.
Eric, hang on. Just wait. Let me finish this, Eric. Come on. Godzilla was good, man. I liked it. It gave me everything I wanted. I mean, it had a very flimsy story. I mean, I think we did a review last week of it, Eric, but, story was flimsy, but the monsters, battling each other were fantastic. Every writer says King of the Monsters is awesome. I agree. I mean, I don't understand the hate for that movie. There were some haters of it, but I mean, it really, gave us everything we really wanted in a Godzilla movie. I mean, you had kaiju battling kaiju. What else could you expect? So there you go. Dungeon says, I can't wait for Judgment. Basically Yakuza, but as a detective. I agree, Dungeon. I thought it looked good. I did see that Sterling thing, but you're right, Eric. Sterling tends to find that. I mean, if it's not his bag of game, which... What is Sterling's bag of game? I mean, who knows? Maybe Neo. I know he liked Neo, but Breakman is in chat. Let's see if we can get Breakman in into.
Anyways, I just wanted to mention Shin Godzilla is on Funimation Now streaming, so you can watch that there.
Yeah,
the only bad thing about the Funimation release is that they basically cut out. The subtitles, the Japanese subtitles, kanji.
Look! Yeah.
That, like, also kept in a couple, like, translations for, like, what department that this government person was part of.
Yeah.
And they're apparently used in a lot of in-jokes in the movie.
Yeah.
And, like, about 40% of those are cut now.
Look who we have in chat, in our conversation right now. We have a special guest this week. His name is Breakman. Breakman. Welcome to the show. Breakman, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right.
All right, man. We've talked about a lot, man, but what did you like most from... Did you see anything from E3 that stuck out?
I didn't see anything from E3. Oh, I've been busy this week.
Okay. Well, that sucks, man. You missed out quite a few announcements. They announced the new Xbox. I don't know if you saw that. They're touting it as an 8K 120 frames per second machine, Breakman. What do you think of that? Do you think they're going to achieve any of that?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I highly doubt it. I mean, we're not even up to 4K standard.
They wouldn't go on stage and tout it if they didn't think it was possible.
It's possible.
If they weren't pretty damn sure that they could do it. Because there's a lot of money involved in it. And doing the shows is a lot of
money. Oh, they could do it, but like the problem is getting other people to do it.
Yeah. There's no question that it's going to be capable of doing that. But that's pie in the sky.
Are you saying the games aren't going to be like that?
Yes.
No, they aren't.
that's on the developers, though. I mean, eventually there are going to be just think about every console that ever comes out.
Hold on, Eric, before you interrupt me.
Yeah.
None of the great games come out at the beginning of a console's launch. Like and I don't mean great games as in quality of the gameplay.
Yeah.
I mean as in the quality of the game itself.
Right.
Like the better developed games come out towards the end of a console's life cycle when the developers have had a chance to learn that system and really learn how to maximize it. That happens.
Well, I understand that. Like I also know that like even now we're nearing the end of this console generation and we still can't figure out how to do 1080p and 60 frames.
I agree. I'm fully in agreement. Like these systems are capable of 4K 60 frames per second. And nothing has come even even remotely close to that. Matter of fact, like what Eric is saying, we haven't even had...
When we use 60, it's like it's an uncapped 60, so it's not consistent.
Yeah, we don't even have 1080p in 60 frames. So I honestly think 8K, 120 frames per second is pie in the sky as much as I would love. I don't care about the 8K thing because we discussed that earlier. Like the human eye is only capable of probably processing 4K. In full effect, but 120 frames per second, I think it's unrealistic. I don't think we'll ever see, even on next gen consoles, a game that's going to approach 4K 120.
And that frames might make per second. It easier to do 4K in 3D at least.
Yeah, we might get to a point 4K 60 frames, which would be my fucking dream. I mean, that'd be really, really cool, but I just don't think that we're going to get it. Did you get a chance to see Godzilla, Breakman?
No, I have not had time to do anything this week.
Yeah. Every writer says, like, any of the original Godzilla films had great stories. I totally agree with that, Every Writer, but there was the first Godzilla movie I thought had a really, like, the remake, or not remake. You know,
Shin Godzilla had a great story.
Yeah, it did. I want to see that. I've only seen bits and pieces in Japanese. I want to see an English dub of it. But I what do you expect? I mean, it's just fucking monsters, you know? I mean, that's what we want to see, man. We want to see total destruction. What do you think about PlayStation being backwards compatible with PS4 and probably PS3 games?
That's good.
Yeah, that's, I agree. Good,
but
I agree.
I'm one of those people who, once I'm playing on a new system, I very rarely like get out the old games and play them on that.
That's kind of true.
But there are a lot of people who do, so, I mean, good.
Would you, like me, like, I would freak out if they announced that the PlayStation 5 was backwards compatible with even PS2 games. I think that would be fucking cool as hell. Hmm. Because there are tons of PlayStation 2 games that I wouldn't mind revisiting and picking up on the cheap somewhere. And you know,
I'm just thinking about my PlayStation games. Like, I get out like Time Splitters. Oh my god!
I bet that figure out how to like
shit now.
Yeah, yeah.
Have to improve them like Microsoft's done with the Xbox 360 games on the Xbox One X. Yeah.
I wouldn't expect them to do anything less than a slight visual improvement at the very least. I mean, that
and, like, would be performance improvements.
Yeah. I think that would be interesting. I think that'd be cool. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'm trying to think. Final Fantasy VII was announced, Breakman.
I scrolled through a few news articles and stuff, but I didn't see any videos or anything.
Yeah.
Did you guys do Stinkos and Sweetos and stuff like
let's
that?
Let's get to yours. We did ours, but let's do yours,
okay, man. Well, my Stinko goes to last week. I told you my dad was in the hospital and he was going to lose a toe. Well, over that weekend, he caught pneumonia and he almost died. Oh. And I've spent the last week in the hospital. So.
Oh, my goodness, man.
I've gone to work and then gone to the hospital every day. That's
sorry to hear that, dude.
The good news is, though, I wouldn't probably brought any of that up if I didn't. And the reason I'm so late is I was waiting to talk to the doctor. And we talked to the doctor. He had two surgeries in the last couple of days, and they both went great.
Okay, well, that is really good news. That's really good news, Break. And I'm hoping for a really speedy recovery for your dad, man. I mean, that's really good. Is the prognosis good after these two surgeries?
As far as, like, the pneumonia, it seems like it's completely gone. But the causes of the pneumonia are something that he's going to have to be constantly monitored.
Yeah.
Probably for the rest of his life because of what caused it. And then his foot, which was the original problem, it was worse than expected. But right now, I don't want to get into too much detail on it, but we were given good news today.
Okay, well, that's good, man. I mean,
it doesn't look like he's going to lose his foot.
Okay, well, that is definitely great.
And he doesn't look like he's going to lose his life either. So thank God.
Yes, of course, man, for sure.
Or whoever you want to thank, I don't care.
I guess Eric brought up something earlier that might
and Thanks, Dungeon Master. Yeah. So I'm sorry. That's why I have not been paying much attention to E3 or Godzilla or anything else. It's just
I
have been preoccupied.
He had his own E3 emergency.
You know what might make you a little bit happier, Breakman? Did you know that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is not going to be the press secretary by the end of the month?
I didn't until Eric tweeted me.
Yeah.
So Eric tweeted me about it. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah,
because I wasn't really paying that much attention to the news either, and I'm like, happy days are here again, you know.
Yes.
And then I sent him a tweet back, ding dong, the witch is dead, but fucking autocorrect changed ding dong to ding ding, the witch is dead.
Cowbell's going on.
I think we got a new name for this episode, man. Ding dang, the wicked witch is dead. So there you go. What about, let's see, so you did your Stinko Sweeto. Do you have time to do your Dear Breakman questions?
There's a bunch. I don't think we have time to do them, really.
Well, can we get to a couple of them, maybe? Maybe.
Maybe, something like that.
Then the herd.
Yeah.
What's that?
Then the herd.
Yeah, let's thin it out.
Because there are actually, the one week we have a guest, we have none, and then every other week afterwards and before, it's been bunches of them.
Yeah. Hold on, let me do your soundbite, Breakman. Hold on 1 second, I gotta get it here. So here we go. Here is our segment we call Dear Breakman. Dear Breakman, let's hear a couple of these.
Okay, so starting from our friend at Freak 5 Chaos, who I guess he's not here right now, he sent us, of course, a hashtag I poop today, and now I'm going to see Godzilla.
Okay, I'll take that. Sweet.
And Bernie responded with have fun, and he responded afterwards with it was awesome, an orgy of monsters.
Yes, I agree.
I totally still need to see S1... Oh, and then Bernie responded with totally. That's funny that I said totally and she responded with totally.
S1 Faka's in chat. I just want to mention that. Okay. All right, he's back. Freak 5 is back. He switched to his from his phone to his computer. All right, go ahead.
He's back!
The man behind the mask. Okay, I'm sorry. That was just a quick...
And then he sent me an article. This is from Freak 5 Chaos. Limited edition PS4 sold to raise money for LGBT charity. Oh my God, I can't say charity. Charity, yes.
Yeah.
I'm drinking my first beer.
I see how you're in fine form this week, Breakman, so there you go.
So, limited edition PlayStation 4 theme with LGBT Pride's rainbow flag has been sold up to raise money for charity. Swedish retailer Webhallen, it's Swedish, so Webhallen, sold the console for 28,300 Swedish kroner.
Oh, well, how
comes
much
in around $4,118. That's a lot of fucking money for a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that is. That's a hell of a lot of money for a PlayStation 4. There's no way in hell I'm paying that much for a PlayStation 4, but okay. All right, what else you got, man?
Okay, then we get the first of the Dear Breakman questions.
Okay, I like this.
This is from at Glitterina 723.
Mm-hmm.
At Harpy Grinders, Dear Abby. Damn you. I mean, Dear Breakman. Do you think it's okay for women to check out hot dudes while she's with her boyfriend or husband and vice versa?
This is a no-brainer.
You don't like do it in front of them. You gotta wait until they turn her back, and then you go ahead.
Are you in a like monogamous relationship? Is the question I'd ask first.
Let's say it
God,
is.
Would spoil my fun.
Yeah. Let's say.
Mean, yeah. That's a good question. Yeah.
Let's say it is monogamous. Okay. Mm. I think it's perfectly okay to check out other people because everybody is human. Or at least I'm human. I don't know about...
It could give you ideas.
Yeah. What, you got to chop around?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Ideas into, like, reshaping yourself.
Yeah. Well, maybe, or maybe there's just an attractive person out there that looks good. I mean, what are you going to say? What are you going to like close your eyes every time an attractive person comes up next to you? I mean, really?
That's
I mean,
almost like wearing a Burke, man.
Yeah.
There was this movie called The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I love it.
But
yes.
I love that movie too. In the movie, he takes the said virgin to the bar, one of the guys, and he tries to teach him how to look at a woman like side. Kind of
side eye. Yeah, give him the side
eye. Yeah, that's one of those techniques that men learn over the years.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean,
so we don't get caught staring. You know,
if you have
why are you looking at nothing?
Right. If you have a mate that is overly jealous, it never works. So, I mean, but if you have a mate that's not overly jealous, I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, being overly jealous would probably be a deal breaker.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the most honest answer is you need to talk to them, to your girlfriend or boyfriend, and discuss with them what they think is fine. If they find it cheating or offensive that you're with them and you're checking out somebody else, then do what I taught you earlier in this conversation. respect their wishes.
Yeah, respect their wishes. How about you find a different mate because it'll never work? That'd be more like it.
I have heard like relationships where people check out other people together, or like the woman will check out other women like and compare them, or guys will check out other guys and compare them, type stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it depends on who you're with, and honestly,
I mean, if you have an overbearing, overly jealous person, it Freak Five is kind of right. Like if you're overly jealous, they're probably cheating. They think you're going to cheat because of their guilt. That's most of the time true. There are other situations though, Freak Five. I mean,
like, oh my god, they suspect me of cheating, so they're just looking at other people already because they've given up.
There are also those guys that have been guys and women who've been cheated on so many times by different people and stuff that they just assume that comes with every relationship.
Thank you for saying that, Breakman. Thank you. Yes, that is definitely true. It happened to me multiple times, and I can tell you, like, that does have an effect on the way that you are in a relationship, but eventually you do have to get over that feeling, you know, because it's
there has to be trust in a relationship.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, what else you got?
There's no trust if you can't sleep at night, you know, I'm just saying.
Exactly. All right, Breakman, what else you got?
But if you're like, if the two of you in an asexual relationship, I don't think you have to worry about that at all.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Yeah, there's not much going on in there. do they even share beds in an asexual relationship, or even a room?
I think they do, man. To be honest, they just
well, if you're an asexual and you're dating somebody who's sexual, then like
they then
partners will usually have sex with their partners because that's what that makes them happy. So they'll just, you know, wash.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So they share a room in that case. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay. What else we got?
Next comes from Freak 5KS. He sent us a news article. 4 women found dead, 2 still missing. This is a serial killer in somewhere in Ohio. I didn't read the article yet, but he tagged, "They're on to you, Breakman. Now we really know why you were late to the show."
Hey, I got a question for you guys, since you guys live in Ohio. Do you guys have purple water?
No.
Okay. Because I know that was going on in Ohio somewhere. There was
it was some kind of chemical, and apparently it is not as bad as people think it is.
Yeah.
But it is something to wake up to. Yeah. It's like, oh, purple water.
When something weird happens in Ohio, it's usually in Cuyahoga Falls.
Cuyahoga Falls. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the Cleveland area.
Just yeah. Like. Every writer says Ohio. No purple water. Okay. I saw a story and there were places in Ohio that had purple.
You gotta worry about brown water, especially.
Every writer says he lives right by there. So there you go. Yeah, no purple water. Yeah, purple water is not good.
Don't drink well water either.
You know what I found interesting was the government's response. Like, the water's okay as long as you dilute it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you going to dilute it with?
I mean, Pepto-Bismol. Like, what? Yeah, that's a good point.
What are you going to
dilute? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So, That reminds me of homeopathic remedies.
Yeah, dilute it. Just when in doubt, dilute it. Every writer says Coke. Yes. I guess, you know, mix it in with some Coke. There you go. I mean, if you want watered down
purple
Coke.
Does he mean cocaine?
Coke. Or... cocaine. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, Coke is water, too, so it just has got stuff in it.
Yeah. I guess. Rum, Big Five says.
Rum.
you'll turn your rum purple. You'll have purple rum. And then you could remake Purple Rain into purple rum. Purple rum. So anyways, what else you got, Breakman?
This one comes from at Frank Branches. I don't know if you guys know him. He said, I invite anyone on my show, RP Grinders, that wants to debate me on anything from politics and entertainment and everything in between. It's easy to add on Twitter.
I kind of don't want to let the gates loose and have nutcases just show up.
Well, too bad. I already opened that floodgate.
Oh, yeah. And I only say that because I responded, I'm going to change my name to Ad Hominem. And he said, I didn't think you've ever called. And then... Sorry. Frank responded with, I didn't think you ever called me an asshole. Wait a minute. Asshole. In which case I responded with, you asshole.
You know what was
surrounded by assholes.
You know what predicated...
Basically begged me to call you an asshole. I mean, yeah. I
ran into that one, Breakman, for sure. But you know why I tweeted that out? I went back and forth with this idiot that we were debating politics. And I'm like, I've said it many, many times on this show. I'm fucking sick of incrementalism. So if you're in favor,
I mean, there are times that incrementalism is like the only viable option, but we should be trying better than incrementalism.
We've had nothing but incrementalism for the last 50 years, Eric, and I'm done with it. Like it's time for big time change. You know what I mean? And if that the change means us going to a democratic socialism platform as opposed to a fully capitalistic platform, I'm totally down. I'm tired of it. I mean, there people are crying about moving to like where Bernie Sanders is on politics, but in all honesty, there are stuff even way more left of Bernie Sanders. You know what I'm saying? Like I heard somebody going around touting like a universal basic income, which means you just get money for nothing. And I'm like, that's to the left of fucking Bernie. You know what I mean? I mean, as long as they don't take away your fucking Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and everything else, that would be
Bernie's
cool.
Bernie's not calling to like abolish Congress and like the judicial system or executive branch as they are like that. He's not saying he's going to turn this into a communist country, but there are people that want that.
Communism is not socialism, but they're intertwined in that they have similar tenets of their ideologies. Right. But
you know why I would prefer a democratic socialist system compared to what we got now? Right now,
which, and a lot of people don't understand that's what it would be.
Actual socialism.
Yeah.
Actual socialism.
Hold on, Eric. Yeah, I agree, Breakman. Totally agree. But here's why. Like, I think we should be democratic socialist in a sense of why not? Because right now we're a society of corporate socialist. We give corporations fucking subsidies like no other. And I'm talking about fucking GM has got it, Wells Fargo, all the fucking Chase.
And we argued about the tax cuts, but like my – and the biggest issue with them really is that when they gave them the tax cuts, they didn't do anything about the loopholes.
Right. Well
– So not only are these companies getting these subsidies, they're also taking advantage of tax loopholes and shit like that too.
Yeah. Their effective tax rate is like nothing. I know.
And the ones that are paying any taxes aren't paying that much. So,
well,
yeah.
And
like,
there were
– it's like people that complain about socialism don't understand what socialism is. It's creating social programs and so that's stuff like your roads and your hospitals and
infrastructure is what you're talking about, Eric. But I don't know, man. Like the more and more I look at things, like there's one clear-cut candidate that's right for the times right now. Like back in the day, it was FDR.
Oh, yeah, schools especially. That's socialism.
Yeah. Back in the day, it was FDR, right? He created the Grand New Deal or whatever the fuck it was and stuff like that. And he didn't get to realize most of the vision. Although there were problems with FDR that I still have to this day, like the racist internment camps, and you know, he I don't know.
Well, yeah, the problem with like going back with those older generations is you find out there's a lot of problems.
Yeah,
with them.
Yeah.
I mean, there were good things that were done, but there was still a lot of bad shit that
right,
was happening
right.
too.
But honestly, like right now, all three of us being Americans and in all different walks of life, America. I honestly think like it's time for a huge change, not just an incremental, you know, bullshit change with somebody like, I don't know, Elizabeth Warren. You know, she might change a couple of things with the banks, although that's kind of questionable. But I honestly think we need to shake the system to its core. And the only way to do that is to support somebody like Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying everybody go out and vote Bernie Sanders. I'm just saying, like, if we really want something to change, we have to, you know, really think about this next election. And you know what? It's either one of two things. We either buck the system with somebody like Bernie Sanders, or we give Trump another fucking 4 years, because anybody else on that Democratic platform, including
that's the problem, though. Democratic, we know the DNC is going to get Biden.
We don't know quite yet. I understand. I'm going to let it play out, Breakman. I think I agree with you.
I can't trust them at all. We saw what they did with Hillary.
Right. I agree with you
100%. They screwed Bernie once. They're going to screw him again.
The only thing is, I think this time around, Bernie has like the support. Like, he had a lot of support last time. He closed a 60-point gap to like within 1%, you know, in the polling. This time around, like, he doesn't have near that gap. Like, I know Biden got in the race and automatically everybody's saying he's the front runner. But if you look at those polls, Breakman, the polls were done by landlines. Who the fuck do you know has a landline? You know what I mean? Like, old people, like people that are going to vote for, like, of course, like the establishment candidates like Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and those type of people.
Those are the most voters. So that's part of the problem is this is younger generation doesn't vote as much.
No,
as
that's
older
that's
generation.
Changing this time around. Breakman, I saw a couple of interesting studies that say this is going to be the first time that the millennials will be at the forefront of the voting block. So
I don't know. That scares me too.
It doesn't scare me.
The millennials have brought back measles.
Yeah, no, I know that, but as far as
I don't really trust them with anything either.
No,
so I don't know.
If Bernie's been polling really fucking well with millennials.
They're just making me fucking mad. Yeah. Like, they're gonna bring back polio next, and I'm just gonna lose it.
And then we'll bring back the bubonic plague and everything fucking thing else, like, that's gonna kill us.
Correction, the millennial anti-vaxxers.
So, anyways,
well,
I don't know.
It's apparently the trend within. Like, I was reading an article, like, kind of explaining how the millennial parenting lifestyle has kind of led that to be a trend.
Yeah. Dungeon says, an iron lung for everyone. Exactly, Dungeon, man. It's, I don't know, man. I agree with you, Breakman. I think they are going to try to screw Bernie again, but I think the momentum is totally on
Bernie's
side.
So they'll try, but they'll fail.
Also, this is why I think Bernie is going to win. I'll tell you why I think Bernie is going to win this time around, Breakman, because he doesn't have nearly the gap. I think the gap is like 5 points or something between him and Biden. Like, it's crazy small. Also, Biden is going to tank. He has a long history of tanking when he talks. And that's why he's been in hiding lately, because like every time he fucking talks, he says something stupid. And it
oh my God, he can't stop himself from saying that one joke about hide your daughters.
Yeah. Oh man.
Like dude, like talk about not getting it.
Yeah, and then he like said that he was gonna cure cancer. You weren't on when we talked about that earlier. That was my stinko. And I'm like,
sorry, what now?
Yeah, he literally said this. You can look it up, Breakman. He literally said in a speech,
swallow my drink for
yourself. He literally said he was going to cure cancer, man. I mean, that is one of the most outrageous, stupid things I think I've ever heard a politician say. It was grandstanding. It's never going to happen as long, especially under his watch.
He sees who's president, and he said every outlandish fucking thing he could.
Yeah.
I guess Biden thinks, hey, if I do it too,
I'll just do it, Trump.
Yeah. Biden is known for plagiarism, so
he's known for plagiarism.
I'm just saying,
he is a Republican, in my opinion. Joe Biden is a Republican, so if you vote for Joe Biden, you're definitely voting for a fucking Republican. I mean, it's not even close. Like, the things he said about young people, the things he said he's done to women and girls in particular, like sniffing their hair, is fucking gross and disgusting and should never fucking happen to anybody, let alone a fucking presidential candidate. He's awful. He voted for the crime bill that's incarcerated people of color en masse, which is
supports the Hyde Amendment.
The Hyde Amendment, which he flip flopped on. So I tweeted out the other day. I was at Walmart and there was a bin of flip flops, and I go, "Oh look, the Joe Biden bin, you know, flip flops." But you know, whatever. Oh God, Bernie says
actually that does remind me. Like speaking of actually, never mind. It wasn't what you said. It was what Dungeon Buster said. But he said, an iron lung for everyone. It'll be just like the early 20th century again. He says, it's a sad thing that states have to legislate vaccines now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And one of the few things I did see this week was that New York is they passed a law saying, hey, religious exemptions don't exempt the fucking health of everybody else.
Yeah, I agree. And that should the way it should, every state should look at that and follow that.
Exactly.
And also churches should be taxed. That's ridiculous that we don't have fucking church taxes. It's fucking crazy. But anyways.
Because people are abusing the hell out of exemptions, he says.
There'd be a whole lot less churches that probably exist solely for the purpose of scamming people out of money.
Yeah, Bernie just Bidened me, man. She snipped my hair.
It'd be a lot harder to be your Peter Popoff or your fucking Joel Osteen.
Ugh, yeah, for sure. All right, guys.
Did you see that video? I guess a couple weeks ago of a reporter confronting one of those big mega.
Yes, I saw that. It was awesome, and he was a total jackass. They were like basically putting him on the spot for jets, like big jets. Like, why do you own a big jet and stuff like that? You know, when the Bible says, you know, you're supposed to. It was awesome. If you guys haven't seen that video, I can't remember who the guy was, but he's one of these big preacher, you know, / evangelical pieces of shit. But, you know, whatever. I did see that, Breakman. I don't know if you saw the full interview, but it was fantastic. It was really good. But anyways, what are your thoughts on that?
But the only problem with that is the same people that listen to those jackasses like televangelists and such like that, or people that vote for Trump, you know. So they're the people that believe those people.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, this I'm telling you,
I don't know how somebody can lie to your face so blatantly and get and you like, yeah.
Yeah. I have a big feeling that Bernie's going to win, despite the DNC's best efforts to keep him from winning, Breakman, because not only will Biden tank, but he will split the establishment vote. And I think they're miscalculating that. They think that Biden is their savior, and they're going to save everybody from Bernie, apparently. But I think once Bernie catches Biden, which I think will happen within the next couple of polls, I think it's just so, all
here's Bernie. My campaign slogan. I believe in Twinkies. Yes.
Believe in Twinkies.
Dungebuster's going to start a new religion based on the Twinkie.
Yeah. Twinkies are fucking good, man. God damn it, man. Ugh, I'm glad they brought Twinkies back, but they're so bad for you, man. I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight, man, and fuck, man. Twinkies.
They didn't bring Twinkies back. They made like 100 different Twinkies.
I know, like chocolate Twinkies and fucking banana Twinkies and fucking red, white, and blue Twinkies.
Yeah, every time I go in the store, there's like a new version of an old snack.
Dungeon says, tell them about the Twinkie. I love that, man.
One of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about the Twinkie? Yeah, and
but like you go and get M&Ms now. Like there used to be like M&Ms and peanut M&Ms, and then they had like crispy shit, and
like vodka.
You know what I saw that was interesting?
Yeah, and jalapeno M&Ms.
Yeah, I was gonna say I saw jalapeno M&Ms, and I was like genuinely interested. I'm like, that sounds like it would be good. I don't know. I'll try it. I'll try almost anything except for liver. I can't stand liver. The minute that they come out with liver M&Ms is
stomach fart M&Ms.
If they ever come out with liver M&Ms, I'm done. That's it. I'm checking out. That's it.
Blueberry M&Ms.
Yeah, there are crispy M&Ms.
Yeah, they're in the blue bag.
Yeah,
every bag is different color.
Yep.
Like for
M&Ms.
Yeah, like the. Yeah. Those are really good, but still the peanut M&M's. Like, I think you got it right when you have peanut M&M's. You could stop there. Yeah. Just saying.
You know what? I'm going to hold off.
I never see all of them anymore.
I didn't do the what are some of the foods you love this week, because I didn't think you were going to make it, Breakman. But we'll do that next week. How does that sound, man? Because remember, that's part two. Like, part one was the foods that we hate. I brought up liver. Next week, we're going to do the foods that we love as part of our free-for-all. I'm sure we'll have other free-for-all topics to talk as well. Yeah, Breakman. I mean,
we've still got more Dear Breakman. Like, I guess we just don't even have time for any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to those. I know Bernie had a question that she sent in. We'll do that next week.
Those are really good questions I want to get to, too.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. I need to take a closer look at the M&M section at his grocery. Yeah, do that, Dungeon.
They have jalapeno ones.
They have chocolate. They have a chocolate lover's Reese's now. They've got peanut lovers, so there's even more peanut lovers. Yeah.
The M&M or chocolate and spice go together really well. Like jalapenos, I can see going really well.
I have a jalapeno chocolate bar, but I don't know about M&Ms.
I think they would be good. I'm going to try them. I'll try to find some.
Well, I want to know Waylon thinks. He tried them.
Oh, wait a minute. Coffee nut M&Ms are good, and he had the jalapeno ones. Yeah, Weiland, let us know.
Why don't they – you know Jelly Belly jelly beans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like how they're like each one's a different flavor, and you can buy them like as an individual flavor, or you can buy like the big packs of like the multi-flavor ones. Why don't they do that with M&Ms?
I agree. I totally agree with that.
I bet if you went to the M&M store in Vegas, you could –
Look, Weiland is an authority on Weiland. Yeah. Yes, they do, and it's awesome. It's great. Weiland says,
"Nobody told me this before. Why was I never informed?"
Technically, it's called the M&M store, but it's really just the Mars candy.
What do you guys think of doing Grinders?
Why was I never told of these things? Yeah. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, yeah. They have a huge M&M store, all M&Ms.
Oh, what the hell? Yeah. I was in Vegas. Why was I not told?
Dude, it is really cool. It's
fun. There's also the Hershey store.
I say next year, guys, we do RP Grinders in Vegas. What do you say? I think we can all make that trip.
I think we should do it in the Mars store.
Yeah, why not? In the M&M store? Why not? Fuck yeah. Weiland is the authority on this, and he says, I like the jalapeno ones, not as much as the coffee nut ones, but they're good. It would be awesome if Jelly Belly made edibles. Dude, people would get in trouble, Freak 5. Trust me.
It is the Hershey store, because I think Hershey's bought Mars at some point, so that's why M&Ms are there.
Yeah, Bernie says we need to go to the M&M store when we go to Vegas. Absolutely, we're going to the M&M store. It's fucking fantastic. And so is the Coke store. The Coke store is awesome, too.
I bought the draft beer-flavored Jelly Bellies, just see how they tasted.
Did they taste good?
They taste like stale beer, so that was a waste of money.
Oh, damn it. Dungeon says M&M's store location Las Vegas, so there you go, man. He even gave you a link. All right, let's
was never informed of these things.
All right, let's do our plugs, break, man. We got to get out of here, man.
I plugged the M&M store in Vegas.
What else you got, man? Come on.
I plugged the doctors who performed his surgery today. I appreciate that. I'm not giving their names or locations or anything. Just thank you. And at RP Grinders on Twitter and what was my other thing? Oh, yeah, Break_Man on Twitter, too.
All right. Eric, your plug.
They have a big yellow bag of M&Ms in the front.
Yes. Dude, that store is like three stories of fucking M&Ms. It's amazing. I've been there. It's fucking cool. You'll love it. You would love it. We should do a show there next year, man, for sure. I would totally do it. All right. Eric, your plugs, please.
Well, I already did those. Remember?
Oh yeah, you did yours. So let me do mine.
Yeah, but I will plug my Twitter account at EricRPG, and that's my profile, and that's where you can find my Patreon.
Okay, cool.
So that's it.
All right. I'm going to plug everybody that was in chat. Let me go down the list here. Angel of Light was in chat. Another TV viewer. Apex Pro Community. Freak 5 was in chat. Commander Root was in chat. Cycle Motion, I didn't see you sneak in there, but thanks for joining. Feel the Burn, of course, was in there. Joby Essen was in there. Johnny Wufi, who we know as Wyland. Leet Studio was in there. Lurks was in there. Our good friend Dungeon Buster. Freak. I think I mentioned Freak 5. Yeah, and also Slagar was in there earlier. And a couple other. Every Writer, I don't know if he's still in there, but he was in there as well. He's on Twitter. He's a cool dude. You should follow Every Writer. So
before we go, Freak says, and just like that, Break becomes pre-diabetic.
You just standing in the M&M store, you become diabetic, Freak Five. What are you talking about, man?
I start turning into the Cookie Monster, like M&M.
Yeah, exactly. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. As Breakman said, you can follow the show at RP Grinders. A special plug for Breakman for actually making the show, man. I didn't know you were going through as much as you were going through, dude. And that's a really cool thing for you to show up. And we do appreciate you being here and all that stuff. And hopefully your dad gets a lot better. So, yeah. You know, let's see.
Well,
what else?
If I didn't get good news from the doctor, I probably wouldn't have came home, but we got great news. So
yeah, that's really cool, man.
He needs to sleep too. So
yeah, rest.
Like, oh, hey, that's great. See ya.
Yeah. I think that's what you did, man.
It was like the doctor said, you need to get some rest, sleep.
Yeah.
And, the nurse said she's going to try and not wake you when she comes in and checks you overnight, stuff like that.
Yeah. Freak 5 says Break would swim through the M&Ms like Scrooge McDuck in his vault.
They start melting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, with the, especially, yeah. Well, anyways.
Not my mouth, not on my body.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. If you're listening on the chat.
No, they just start sticky to you then. That's right.
It is pretty funny that they backed away from that sometime, I think, in the 90s, and companies started getting sued for their tagline. You know?
Exactly.
Melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I want to just thank a special thanks to everybody listening on the archives. I know a lot of you listening don't get a chance to join us live, but if you get a chance, join us live every Friday 7 Eastern time. We always have a ton of fun. Sometimes I do a mini show after like a all Grinder dance party where I do nothing but requests, but this week is not that week. It might come back next week. I'm not 100% sure, but I think next week is the week that I will do another Grinder dance party. If you want to follow me on any of the gaming systems, it's RP Grinders, just like the show. So if you're on Xbox, if you're on PlayStation or the Nintendo Switch, add me on there. I'm mostly on the Sony PlayStation, so you know, if I don't get to the Xbox and the Nintendo right away, just hang in there. I'll eventually get there. So there you go. Anything else, gentlemen? Nothing? Anything? Nothing?
Smoke weed every day.
From Eric, of all people. I expect that from Breakman, but not Eric, man. That's awesome, man. Weed M&Ms. I would be down for those, but man, those would get me in trouble too. Maybe I'll make some weed M&Ms, Eric, when you visit here sometime, and I'll let you try them. That'd be cool.
Homemade weed M&Ms.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And that's about it. Do you have anything else, Break, before we take off? No, he doesn't. He doesn't have anything. Okay. Stay safe.
It would help if I unmuted myself.
Yes, it would.
I'm good.
Okay.
I just unmuted myself to say no, I'm good.
Exactly. All right. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.
No cowbell.
Why we always gotta interrupt the outro, man? Some bullshit. You guys just want to interrupt the outro like every time.
Yes, I do.
What if there was a Mario Kart course?